This is an ABC Radio National podcast. For full details, abc.net.au/rn.
Hello, Sue Clark here with you for Perspective. It's too easy to compare, say, Osama bin Laden with Joseph Stalin or Saddam Hussein with Pol Pot. But just how accurate would we be? Can we compare mad with bad? Richard Bosworth is Professor of History at the University of Western Australia. He's also the author of Mussolini's Italy.
When recently I read that the new conservative German Chancellor Angela Merkel had compared the President of Iran to Adolf Hitler, I groaned. The certainly fanatical and perhaps mad Nazi Führer dismally failed to establish his thousand-year Reich. But I should like to see politicians and pundits sign a thousand-year ordinance forswearing cheap analogy with events in the 1930s. I say this feelingly because I've spent so much of my life working on Benito Mussolini's fascist dictatorship in Italy. The Duce, who reached power more than a decade before Hitler, was in many ways the prototype of the Führer. The exact connection between fascist Italy and Nazi Germany, arrayed in the first evil axis, may have been complex, but the fascist regime was evidently malign. It bears the responsibility for the premature death of at least a million of its own citizens and the subjects of those countries against which it launched aggressive wars, with no worry about collateral damage. It undermined parliamentary liberal democracy and set up a single-party state. It repressed free trade unions and cut the living standards of workers and peasants. It censored the press and reduced Italian public debate to dull uniformity. It nourished a secret police. It was ludicrously patriarchal towards women. It used the period weapon of mass destruction, poison gas, even though it had signed the 1925 Geneva Convention renouncing such usage. It murdered Arabs, blacks and Slavs and, from 1938, pushed through anti-Semitic legislation. During the Second World War, its racism led to the deaths of more than 7,000 of Italy's Jews, even though that sector of society had, before 1938, been more likely than not to be pro-fascist. It expended many words on the manliness of war. It preached fanatical devotion to the leader, to the party and to the regime's ideology, aiming to remould Italian men and Italian women in a cultural revolution. It pursued damagingly protectionist economic policies. It fostered terrorism in its neighbours. It was the first totalitarian state. The word totalitario spread from Italian into other languages. And yet, Mussolini may have been bad, but he wasn't mad. Quite a few Italians may have delighted in his rule and been on occasion fascist fanatics, but they were rarely only that. The historical message to be drawn from the Italian experience of the interwar is that life under a dictatorship is a complicated matter. Even while the fascists were endorsing violence, killing, maiming and bombing their enemies, they also remained recognisable human beings, people whose histories connect with our own. The most fascist of fascists were likely also to possess families and to want to protect and advantage them. The family was a powerful strand in Italian life. Mussolini himself had a wife who on occasion henpecked him, 5 irritating children, a succession of lovers who needed attention too, a bright and corrupt son-in-law who became the Duce's Dauphin in the 1930s to the disgust of those who deemed him insufficiently rigorous in his fascism. Fascists were also likely to be Catholic, and the regime moved early to a compromise deal with the Vatican, highly contradictory to pure totalitarianism. Thereafter, in quite a few fields, from abortion and divorce to the training of the young, the church was more forceful in imposing its will than was the dictator. Furthermore, Italians had long set themselves into patron-client networks, where special favours and recommendations were the stuff of life. Fascists claimed their revolution was rendering such behaviour redundant, but in practice, Roberto Farinacci, one of Mussolini's toughest and most fanatical-seeming underlings, defined his philosophy as, and I quote, "I never forget my friends," unquote, and tempered his fascism when personal interests intervened. Farinacci was also committed to his hometown, Cremona, and saw no contradiction in favouring it over and above the national or ideological interest. It is unnecessary to continue. If we turn away from Hitler, or from the commonest assumptions about him, to consider Mussolini, we shall find messages from the past that illuminate our contemporary dictatorships, our contemporary fanatics, and our worthy selves, rather better than does the despairing view that our political enemies are insane and imponderable, people who can only be approached with our bombs and invasions, and dare I say, with our own fascist-style acceptance of the inevitability of collateral damage. Our enemies may be bad. They are not mad. Democracy must operate on that optimistic understanding.
Richard Bosworth and Mussolini's Italy is published by Penguin Books. On ABC Radio National, Newstime.
ABC Radio National. More than 60 programs, more than 260 transmitters Australia-wide. And we're live on the net as well as media on demand streams. Find out how to get more out of Radio National. Go to abc.net.au/rn. And for the full list of MP3 and podcast programs, abc.net.au/rn/podcast.